We read together this morning the sacred scriptures in Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. We'll begin reading at verse 47 this morning. And we read this especially in connection with the end of the chapter, which is one of the records of the denial of Jesus by Peter. Let's begin the reading again at verse 47 of Matthew 26. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And came they and laid their hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, Put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray in my Father to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? How then shall the Scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. But all this was done, that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the prophets forsook him, disciples forsook him, and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee, these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, Thou hast said, Nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He hath spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. So far we read God's word. We read that in connection with the truth of Lord's Day 12, just a small portion of that Lord's Day that we focus on this morning. Just the words in question and answer 32, the question is, but why art thou called a Christian? And the answer is, because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of His anointing, that so I may confess His name. Those are the words that describe what it means that we are prophets on account of our being anointed by the Spirit, that I may confess Jesus' name. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of Lord's Day 12 concerns the title of Jesus, namely Christ. In the first sermon on Lord's Day 12, we considered what that meant, that He was the anointed one of God, by examining the baptism of Jesus when publicly He began His earthly ministry as the one anointed with the Holy Spirit. That office of Jesus Christ that He holds is the office of the mediator of the covenant, and it comes to expression in a threefold way, that of being a prophet, a priest, and a king. In the sermon last week, we considered from Deuteronomy 18 the truth that Jesus was the prophet of God, prophesied of in the Old Testament and fulfilled in His coming. Jesus always has functioned as a prophet. He functioned as a prophet through the time in the Old Testament, through the prophets that were sent by God. He was a prophet during His earthly ministry by being a teacher and preacher. He was a prophet on the cross when He spoke by His death to the world and to the church throughout the ages. And He continues to be a prophet right now through the sacred Scriptures and through the preaching of the gospel. Our calling as believers is to heed the word of Jesus, our prophet and teacher. One of the ways that we heed the word of Christ is to follow Him in this respect, which we have before us this morning. We too are anointed by the Holy Spirit. In our regeneration, God worked the Spirit of Jesus Christ in our hearts so that we hold the office of believer. And we, as those who hold that office of believer, are called to follow Jesus Christ and to show forth that same threefold office in our lives, that of prophet, priest, and king. We consider this morning what it means that as Christians we are prophets. The brief explanation of that in the Heidelberg Catechism is that we, as prophets, confess the name of Jesus. And so what I'd like to do this morning is look at the opposite of that, as well as the fact itself of confessing Jesus. The opposite is that we deny Jesus. And we do that by looking at the example of Peter in Matthew 26. So those are the two main points of the sermon this morning. The sermon's theme is the Christian's calling as a prophet. Let's consider in the first place what it means to deny Jesus, what we are to keep ourselves from. And then in the second place, let's consider what it means to confess the name of Jesus. In order to look at this idea of denying Jesus, we are considering this morning the example of the Apostle Peter. And now that's significant. That fact in and of itself, that to find an example in the Bible of the opposite of confessing Jesus, we are looking at the example of Peter, is significant because Peter was a child of God. Peter was a child of God prior to the event that we have recorded in Matthew chapter 26 when he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter was a child of God who fell into sin, but yet he was a child of God who was convicted of that sin and fled to Jesus Christ and walked in obedience, understanding His forgiveness by the work of God. That's instructive for us this morning. And that's the perspective that we must take when we think about this first point of the sermon of what it means to deny Jesus. As Christians, and as those who are sinners, we deny the Lord Jesus Christ. But that is not meant to lead us to despair. It's meant to show us our sin and to show us our need for repentance and to show us that there is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then to go forth from that in the same way that Peter went forth, which was living a life of confessing and sounding forth the name of Jesus Christ. I don't often do this in sermons, but I'd like to read John Calvin's opening words to his commentary on the narrative of Peter's denial of Jesus. This is what he says right at the beginning of his explanation of these verses. Peter's fall, which is here related, is a bright mirror of our weakness. In his repentance, also, a striking instance of the goodness and mercy of God is held out to us. This narrative, therefore, which relates to us a single individual, contains a doctrine which may be applied to the whole church, and which indeed is highly useful, both to instruct those who are standing, to cherish anxiety and fear, and to comfort those who have fallen by holding out to them the hope pardon. It's instructive to consider Peter as an example of one who denies Jesus Christ. To deny Jesus is the opposite of to confess Jesus. To deny Jesus is to take on your lips the name of Jesus Christ, not in a positive way, but in a negative way. To deny Jesus is to take on your lips the truth of Jesus, and by what you say, to not proclaim it as truth, but as the opposite of that, which is the lie. To deny Jesus is, by your words and your actions, to disassociate with yourself, with the Lord Jesus Christ, as clearly and as sharply as you can. To deny Jesus is to do what Peter did, which is, when the question was posed to him, "Do you know Jesus? You were with Jesus." To say, "I know not the man. I want nothing to do with him." To deny Jesus is a serious sin. It's a sin that we are all guilty of. And that needs to be our perspective as we think about these points from the example of Peter. All four of the gospel narratives record the instance of Peter's denial of Jesus. We read one of them in Matthew chapter 26. I don't want to go into the details of what happened exactly. I want to pull out of the history some main points. We know this history very well. You children know this history very well. Peter was with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and we read that in Matthew chapter 26. And he was arrested, and then he was brought to Caiaphas to be tried in the palace. And Peter fled with the other disciples, but then we read eventually made his way to that palace where Jesus was being tried before Caiaphas. And he was in the outer court of that palace where the servants and the soldiers were located. And that's where we read this narrative of what took place at the end of Matthew chapter 26. There's some especially striking points that we can learn about with respect to what it means to deny Jesus from this example of Peter in Matthew 26. I'd like to draw out four main points from this. In the first place, take note of the fact that Peter's denial of Jesus took place not that long after his strong confession of Jesus and zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ. This took place early Friday morning. Thursday night, the night prior, was when Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, the last Passover feast at which time he instituted the Lord's Supper. And Peter was told by Jesus that this is what is going to happen. You are going to scatter in fulfillment of the prophecy in Zephaniah that the sheep is smitten and the shepherd is smitten and then the sheep are scattered. And Jesus says to the disciples, this is going to take place. And Peter makes that confession. Everyone else will be offended by you, Jesus, but I will never be offended by you. I will never scatter like a sheep from their shepherd. And then even in the Garden of Gethsemane, for a brief while there, his zeal was misguided, but he showed zeal for the Lord Jesus Christ and his association with Jesus Christ as one of his disciples. Shortly after saying those things and doing those things, we find Peter here in the early hours of Friday morning. And this is what takes place. The verse that comes to mind is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 10, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Even when we are on the mountaintops of faith and when we speak very boldly and very confidently about our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and our association with Him and our desire to proclaim His name, it doesn't take very long for us to fall off that mountain and fall into serious sin. That was Peter. And beloved, that can be us too. And so what that means is it's a constant battle to be vigilant, a constant battle to confess Jesus in our life. Because the moment that we think that we stand and that we are strong is the moment that we're on the path to falling. In the second place, take note of the fact in this denial of Jesus in Matthew 26 and the other narratives that this was a public denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's made explicit in a couple of the verses. Verse 70, for example, in Matthew 26, "But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest." Now, this was not a huge gathering. He wasn't in an amphitheater with hundreds and hundreds of people before him, but yet this was public. He was outside of that palace. He was in the presence of other people, and it was there before men that Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. In the friendly confines of the church, it is, so to speak, easy to confess the name of Jesus and to confess the truth of Jesus Christ. In the hostile environments of the world and of Grand Valley and the other campuses and the jobs that you are on, when the questions may be posed, then it's different. When we are in public, when the questions are posed to us before other persons, then our faith is tested. Then our love for the Lord Jesus Christ is all the more difficult to confess and to make known to others. This was a public denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because of that, it's all the more serious. Just as when publicly we profess our love for Jesus Christ, that is powerful and God uses it, so also is it that damaging when publicly a Christian who claims to love God and to be saved by Jesus Christ denies the name of Jesus Christ. In the third place, notice the fact that this was a denial by Peter that took place three times. That was in fulfillment of the word of Jesus to Peter in the upper room the night before. Jesus said this explicitly. He said to Peter, "Before the cock crows, you are going to deny me three times." And so, in fulfillment of that, because the word of Jesus always comes true, Peter denied Jesus three times. But the fact that he denied him three times is significant because it teaches us something about the nature of sinning, teaches us something about the nature of denying the Lord Jesus Christ. If sin is not cut off immediately, recognized immediately, and confessed to God, repented of, and turned from, one more easily goes on in that sin. And that is even true in a very short period of time. That's certainly true over a long period of time. That's true even in a very brief period of time. This event was not a very long period of time. But when you go on in sin, when you do something once, it may afflict the conscience a little bit. The first time that you had an opportunity to talk about Jesus, but you failed to, you may go home that night and it may bother you, but the more you do that, the easier it becomes. The nature of sin is such that when you walk in it, unless it is cut off immediately, and this is the need for daily conversion, even hourly conversion in a certain sense, you go on in it even more. And that's what Peter did here. He denied Jesus once. And instead of immediately after that first denial, recognizing what he did, confessing that sin to God, he goes on and it even builds as it goes on until he is convicted of it and turned from that sin. And that leads to the fourth point, which is the intense nature of the denial of Jesus by Peter. This was not just some flippant comment in which he says, I don't know that man, Jesus Christ. This was an intense, clear, powerful denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some things that indicate that in the narrative. Notice in the first place the fact that Peter doesn't even take on his lips the name of Jesus. He says in verse 72, in response to, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again, he denied with an oath, and he said, I do not know the man. And that's true in all of the narratives. So powerful was his denial of Jesus that he did not even take on his lips the name of Jesus. He didn't say, I don't know Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I don't even know the man of which you are speaking. Notice in the second place the fact that Peter volunteered this information to the gathering that was in that court outside of the palace. That's in a couple of narratives. It's here in Matthew 26 in verse 71 after the first denial when he was posed the question specifically. We read in verse 71, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Notice that. She was talking to the others that were there, likely overheard by Peter. And Peter, we read in the next verse, makes it very clear, I don't know that man of whom you are speaking that I know. It indicates the strength of his denial that even when he wasn't even posed the question specifically, but it was pointed to others, he still volunteered to make it clear, I don't know that man of whom you are speaking. And then in the third place, notice the intense nature of this denial by the fact that Peter swears an oath, swears, and then curses in his response to whether or not he knows Jesus Christ. We just read of that in verse 72. And again, he denied with an oath. Now, beloved, do you understand the seriousness of that? An oath is a calling upon God to be the judge of what I am saying, and an asking God, punish me, judge me, if what I say here is not in fact truth. And that's what Peter does here. He swears an oath, he calls upon God and says, if what I'm saying here, I do not know the man, is not true, as I'm saying it is true, punish and bring your wrath upon me. That's the seriousness of swearing oaths before God. And then this just builds within Peter. He swears that oath, and then we get to the third time and we read In verse 74, then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. You can understand the progression. Probably the first time, it's a more or less calm statement. I know not the man. Clear, but calm. And then it builds, and all of a sudden he's cursing and swearing, I know not the man, Jesus, of whom you are speaking. Powerful, bold denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now if we are sitting here this morning and saying to ourselves, especially after you hear those last comments, I can't believe he did that. Then we don't understand our own sin and who we are. That is a temptation when we read this narrative of Peter. In a certain sense, we can say to ourselves, okay, I understand that time that Peter was on the water, when in the strength of his faith, he goes on the water, and in the strength of his faith, his eyes are fixed on Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he looks around and he realizes he's on the water. And then he takes his eyes off Jesus and he begins to sink. I get that. He's on water. And it hits him. And he takes his eyes off of Jesus. That makes sense. But this specific questions, volunteered information, oath, cursing, swearing, I know not the man. It's tempting to say, I don't believe that he could do it. And I say again, that means we don't understand our own sinful natures. As Calvin said in that quote, this is for all of us, to teach us about the weakness of our faith at times, and to teach us that just as Peter is able to deny Jesus, so also are we. And so also do we in our lives. Beloved, if we can't see ourselves in Peter, we're not going to learn from the truth of God's Word this morning. We need to understand our own sinfulness and that it is in us to do this exact same thing that Peter did in his life. We pray that we don't, in the explicit, strong way that Peter did, but we never look at this and say it's not possible, because then we don't understand our own sin. The reality, people of God, is that we are guilty also of denying the Lord Jesus Christ. And that comes to expression in many ways. It may not be the explicit, for example, from a co-worker, do you know Jesus Christ and do you love Jesus Christ? And then you say in response to that, I don't know Him, I don't want anything to do with Him. It may not be that, but that doesn't mean that our denials of Jesus are no less significant and real. I think we've all probably had the experiences when we failed to speak concerning the Lord Jesus Christ when we had an opportunity to. We can probably all point to those times in our lives when at night, after we think about the day, we realize that I had an opportunity, a clear opportunity, to talk about my love for Jesus Christ and His work for me, and I squandered that activity for one reason or another. I directed the conversation to be about politics and sports and weather and business instead of saying, let me tell you about Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure that we've all had those opportunities squandered in our lives. It's different than what Peter did, but no less serious in failing to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's very important for us to understand that our denials of the Lord Jesus Christ are not just in the specific words that we speak. And this is where it becomes very applicable for every single one of us. Our denials of the Lord Jesus Christ are in the actions and the way that we live. Read, for example, the Word of God in Titus chapter 1, verse 16, where we read these words, they profess that they know God, profess with their mouth they know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate. That's applying to the unbelieving reprobate. But the point there is what is true for us as well, that in our mouths we can confess Jesus, but in we live a certain way, we are guilty of denying the Lord Jesus Christ by our actions and by our life. That's ultimately what Peter did. By his life there, he was denying the Lord Jesus Christ, and it came to expression in the words that he spoke. Anytime we hear the word of Jesus directed to us, clear word of Jesus as our prophet and teacher, and then we turn around and do the opposite of that word, or don't fulfill that word in our lives, that is a denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus says to us, keep yourself unspotted from the world, and then we fill ourselves with the filth of this world, that is a denial of Jesus. When Jesus says, let your light shine before men, and like I said earlier, when instead we hide it under a bushel, that is a denial of Jesus. When Jesus says, one whom you have offended, go to that person, reconcile, and then go to the altar and worship God, but instead you harbor that sin and fail to confess it and go as you're called to by Jesus, that's a denial of Jesus. When Jesus says, watch for my return, I'm coming again, but instead our eyes are just fixated here below in our life, that's a denial of Jesus. You understand the point. The examples could be multiplied endlessly. Our lives show whether or not we confess or deny the Lord Jesus Christ. So we apply it specifically with the words we speak, but also see the greater, broader application as well. Beloved, what is the difference between the unbeliever who denies Jesus in their words and actions, and the believer who also does that, as we see with the example of Peter, and as we must see in the example of our own lives? What is the fundamental difference between those two? The answer to that question is found in the last words of verse 75 in Matthew 26. So very brief, but so very powerful. And he went out and wept bitterly. Beloved, that is the difference. Peter was convicted of the sin that he committed. The moment he denied Jesus three times, the cock crew, and the other passages say that Jesus saw him walking in the palace, peered down and caught the eye of Jesus, and he remembered the word of Jesus, you're going to deny me three times before the cock crows. And through those means, God brought Peter to a conviction of his sin and a sorrow over that sin. Peter didn't point the finger at anybody else. Peter looked at himself and knew, I am responsible for what I did. And Peter was humbled on account of the sin that he committed. The passage makes that so clear. Like I said, it's brief but powerful. He went out and he wept. And he didn't just weep, he wept bitterly. He wept in such a way that it showed that he understood the seriousness of what he had just done in denying his Lord and friend and Savior, Jesus Christ. Right now I'm in the second point of the sermon. This part concerning Peter was the beginning of the second point of the sermon. The second point of the sermon is confessing Jesus. And very deliberately is this discussion right now in the second point of the sermon, because you ask the question, where does a life of confessing Jesus begin? Where does a life of living as a prophet of God in our everyday lives begin? Beloved, it begins right here. It begins with every single one of us understanding our own sin. Before we go out and confess Jesus with our mouths, as we learn in the Heidelberg Catechism, there's a different confession that needs to be made. A couple different confessions that need to be made. And this is the first one. And not just with respect to the sin of denying Jesus, but with respect to all of our sin. The confession is one concerning our own sin and our own guilt. And having, as Peter had, a genuine, real sorrow and repentance over that sin. We'll never get to the end of what Lord's Day 12 says, so that I confess His name, unless we understand and live out of the power of this, that I confess my own sin and unworthiness. And then that's led to something else. Understanding that sin, weeping in our hearts on account of that sin, we go to Jesus Christ and by faith cling to the cross of Christ as the only way of deliverance from that sin and all of our sin and guilt. And clinging to the cross of Jesus by faith for all of our sin, including the sin of denying Jesus, then we go forth in our everyday lives. And if we really understand the sin, and if we really understand the work of Jesus and the glory of that work to deliver us, then we're like the prophets of old. And I mentioned that in the sermon last week, where we bubble forth. We bubble forth with the words of Jesus in our lives because we know the wonder of grace that it is that Jesus Christ delivered me from all of my sin. Our lives as prophets flow out of the heart and center of everything, which is the cross of Jesus Christ. When we go forth in our lives denying Jesus, that is because we have taken our eyes of faith off of the cross. And instead, the only one we are thinking about at that time is ourselves. Why did Peter deny Jesus? Why do we, when we have an opportunity to speak about our love for God, instead don't? Why? It's because we've taken our eyes of faith off of the cross and the glory of God and the work of God to deliver us, and instead we're only thinking about ourselves. We feel ashamed. We don't want to be viewed as a certain way from our employees. When we hear the word of Jesus, keep yourself unspotted from the world, and then we're presented with the filth of the world, what's going on there? All we're doing is thinking about ourselves. This is what I want to do. I don't care what Jesus says about how I am called to live. Beloved, living a life of either denying Jesus or confessing Jesus flows out of the heart and center of the work of God in delivering us through the work of Jesus on the cross. It starts with a confession of our own sin and a clinging to Jesus by faith. And from that flows living a life as a prophet of God. What does it mean to confess specifically His name? That word confess means to speak. Okay, to speak. Confessions are spoken. And then it means to speak with. When you confess, it's those ideas put together. You speak with someone. And ultimately, our confession of faith is a speaking with God. We speak the same thing as God. And that same thing as God is that which is revealed in the Scriptures. So to confess faith, to confess the name of Jesus, is to speak the same thing as God. That is, it is to speak the Scriptures. But then we have to take that a step further. To confess faith is to speak those words, and with respect to those words, say, those words are truth. I'm speaking them, not as a professor who may teach history and talk about the Bible, but I'm speaking them, and when I speak them, I am saying these words are truth. But then we need to take it a step further. To confess is to speak the same thing as God, to speak it as that which is truth, and then to speak it as that which is truth for me. A true confession of Jesus is not just talking about God. It is saying that these truths of God that are truth are for me. And then to take it one step further, to confess the name of Jesus is to confess those truths with our mouths, believe them in our heart, and then to live them so that our walk is in harmony with our confession. So that what is spoken of in Titus 1:16, a professing with their mouths but a denying in their works, is not fundamentally true for us as believers. Take the example of Peter. Peter responded as a Christian responds when they are convicted of their sin and led to understand their forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The narrative ends with Peter weeping bitterly over his sin. Go home and read the last chapter of the book of John. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus and Peter are together again. And we see there the restoration of Peter from the fall into sin that he committed. And Jesus poses the question to Peter, "Do you love me? Lovest thou me?" And Peter, through that speaking with Jesus, expresses his love for Christ. And then he goes on in his life, feeding the lambs and the sheep of God by proclaiming the gospel of Jesus. He wept. He was sorry for his sins. He walked out of love and thanks in obedience. And let us do the same, beloved. Let us confess Jesus in our lives. And there are many ways we do this as prophets of God. Let's reiterate one of them. Let's be bold in our witness of Jesus in our everyday lives. Let's look for opportunities to take on our lips the name of Jesus Christ and explain the truth of God's Word to others. And this is not something that is the two sentences that we may speak to somebody in the grocery store when we walk by them. Look at your life carefully right now as you have interactions with many people and say, where is an opportunity? Not just in a couple of sentences to talk about Christ, but truly through a relationship with somebody to bring the Word of God and to show forth by those words the love of God and the work of God for me in Jesus Christ. Ask yourself that question. Are there any opportunities that I'm not taking advantage of in explaining the truth of God's Word to someone? So that literally, not just in the confines of the church and school and home, that's where it begins. Our confessions of Jesus and the truth begin there, teaching and communicating and all of those things that go into the life of a Christian. But also out there, where do I have opportunity to speak of the love of God in Christ for me? We confess Jesus, for example, as well in our joyful singing of praises to God. That brings it home right here. And I wanted to make this point so that we think about this with respect to our worship. This is one of the most amazing, beautiful ways in which we show ourselves to be prophets of God. When we take on our lips the word of truth as that flows from the depths of our hearts, and all of those things that I talked about with what it means to confess come through in that, we're speaking. We're speaking truth. We're speaking truth personally. That's what singing is. When we sing these words from our hearts, we're showing this is the work of God for me, and I love this God who delivered me in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then live it. Confess Jesus by your life. In the sermon last week, we talked about how Jesus was the great prophet of God and how He spoke. And how He spoke most loudly and clearly by His death on the cross. That was Him proclaiming the message of the gospel to the world. Let our lives be the same, beloved. So that we bubble forth in our words concerning the truth, but also are zealous in our life of good works, absolutely convicted of our desire to live our lives in accordance with the Word of Christ revealed in the Scriptures. And in that way, we keep our lives from being denials of Jesus, but instead our very lives are our confession of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that must be the case in our lives. Beloved, we're anointed. We're anointed with the Holy Spirit. This isn't a question of whether or not we are prophets. We are. And if we are, with the Spirit in us, this must be true. That we confess our sin, cling to Jesus by faith, and go forth in our words and actions, confessing the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we pray that we might go forth in that way from this worship service, loving Thee and loving the truth, and with our mouths and lives, confessing our Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us from Thy Word, as we have brought it forth this morning, and help us even in the remainder of this worship as we sing to exercise ourselves as prophets of Thine. In Jesus' name do we pray. Amen.